Day 1. Permagrin appears. Would you believe I actually made it into downtown DC in barely any traffic? And as I mentioned in my first article, practically pain-free. The smooth travel experience reinforced my hunch that the universe really did want me to attend this conference for a specific reason. But I had no idea how significant its impact would be. As soon as I checked into my room, I dropped my bag, scarfed down half the salad I bought in the hotel lobby, quickly freshened up, and got right back on the elevator to take my post as a registration volunteer. Normally, not getting a quality, satisfying meal makes me irritable. But not that day. I had the cheesiest permagrin stuck to my face that no half-satisfied belly could asunder. My cheesy smile lasted all evening Tuesday as I helped welcome people from organizations all over the country. The best part of the evening, though, was talking to the other volunteers about our shared passions. Day 2, permagrin persists. Wednesday morning, I woke up with a permagrin still glued to my face and feeling fresh and jazzed up for the day. I put on one of the few professional-looking outfits I own. Yes, I am a work-at-home mom, you know. Took the time to curl my hair and put on a little eyeshadow, grabbed the business cards I designed and picked up the day before I left, and headed downstairs for the opening event. My upbeat energy matched the energy in the room. Throughout the day, the presenters spoke about great strides being made to improve the pediatric obesity crisis in our country. They talked about efforts to improve nutrition in schools, innovative new programs, and even a treadmill with a built-in virtual reality video game system aiming to encourage more physical activity in kids, and improvements being made in the nutrition content of food sold in certain fast food restaurants, soda companies, and convenience stores. Learning about these new initiatives left me optimistic with regard to the increased availability of more nutrient-rich foods for our kids in public places. But I also left hoping that the next day the presenters would address two critical components that were not mentioned, one of them being motivation. It's wonderful that all of these changes are being made to health food options to make health food options more available. But as a mom of three boys, I know that parents also need help with how. How can parents help children develop the internal motivation to actually eat healthy food and be more active? Day 3. Permagrin fades. Thursday came and went, and so did my grin. I met some amazing people who gave me such positive feedback on my book and wanted to connect after the conference, but I still saw two missing pieces in their efforts to end pediatric obesity. And then, Friday morning, it happened. The lesson that the universe brought me here to learn began to unveil itself. The presenters of the session I'd selected opened by saying that we probably weren't going to like what they had to say. They felt the key to getting kids to actually change their eating and physical activity habits went against all we'd been hearing throughout the conference so far. I leaned forward and inadvertently whispered, "Yes," thinking that our messages would be aligned. But what they said next felt like a vicious punch in the gut. What in the world did she just say? Did she really just say that we should not use the word healthy with kids? Did I hear correctly that using the word healthy will turn off kids because they'll associate food and other health behaviors as medicinal rather than being something that will bring them pleasure? Basically, they believed that we're all shooting ourselves in the foot by encouraging kids to make healthy choices. I walked into the closing ceremony with my head spinning. I'd just given the green light the day before I left for this conference to go print to go to print on a book I wrote to help kids to want to live a healthy lifestyle. I used many robust kid-friendly words to describe healthy food, but I also included the word healthy. Now what? Would this expert opinion make the book I diligently rewrote countless times to ensure its relevance with kids' interests, parent values, nutrition science, and behavior change research irrelevant before its release? And on top of that, I still saw a glaring hole in the conversation that never got touched on at all. Day 4, Permigrin lost. The drive home was long, thank goodness. It gave me a little time to process the mishmash of thoughts running through my head. And of course, I questioned what in the world the universe wanted me to glean through all of this. I called a friend who I trusted would listen and objectively reflect back what she heard me saying to help me make sense of it all. What came out, though, was a blathering of confused statements tangled up in both hopeless and distressed emotions. She helped me lessen my emotional response, but I still had no idea how to proceed with my book. Saturday, dizzy tired. Saturday morning, I woke up dizzy tired. I couldn't get that speaker's message out of my head. Don't use the word health to encourage healthy behaviors? But if not health, then what? For the next 48 hours, much to my family's dismay, I went inward. I mean, I was still in their presence, but I went into deep soul-searching mode. As a health coach, I encourage my clients to go several layers deep when they're trying to figure out why they want to improve their lifestyle. The first two or three reasons will likely not be a deep enough motivator to lead to long-term success. So I took my own advice and started peeling back the layers. What I discovered were powerful insights. It actually wasn't the idea of being healthier that helped me when I was 17 to heal my years of struggle with body image issues, emotional eating, and insecurity with exercise. It wasn't the idea of being healthier that motivated me to learn how to eat healthy and exercise. And it wasn't the idea of being healthier that sparked my passion for healthy living and my desire to empower others to discover the joy of healthy living. What I realized was that health was an outcome of my healthy lifestyle, but not my motivator. To my surprise, it wasn't even to lose weight, get stronger, build my confidence, or, as society wants me to believe, to become beautiful. I peeled back all the layers until I finally reached the core. What I discovered was that the motivator that changed everything for me when I was 17 was love. Love for the life I wanted to live. Purposeful, joyful, and healthy. Love for the way I wanted to feel. Confident, energized, and empowered. Love for the person I wanted to be. Genuine, loving, and inspirational. Even though I couldn't articulate it at 17, I'd woken up to the realization that to have that life, to feel that way, and to be that person, I had to make choices from a place of love. Love that honored my life and would support that reality. That's when I started living a love-motivated lifestyle. I just never described it that way. Until now. This epiphany rocked me. I'd been living this way for so long, but had never gone deep enough to gain the clarity I needed to accurately express it. This is why the universe sent me to DC. This is why I sat in that session listening to the words that took the wind out of me. And this is why I feel so passionate about bringing attention to what I see as the two missing elements that were not discussed during the conference. Number one, we need kid-centered tools that focus on helping them to develop the internal motivation to live a healthy lifestyle using kid-inspiring, kid-approved language. And number two, I'm going to share in my next article. Monday, crazy inspired. Monday morning, I woke up crazy inspired. I hadn't felt that fired up in quite some time. First, I called the publisher to halt the presses. It would set me back once again, but I wanted my message to be massaged just a bit to honor what I heard at the conference, and way more importantly, I wanted to share with kids everywhere a new kind of motivation that I knew firsthand was transformational and lasting. Or, in the Super Dynamo's terms, the source of one's greatest power, love. Second, I went to work to update my website so that my platform more accurately reflects what's inspired me all these years and the gift I want to pass along to you and your children. Over the past few years, I've done extensive self-exploration to find a way to gain clarity that leaves me feeling aligned in my body, mind, and spirit. A lot of the things I've been doing had left me questioning myself. So what I did was put together my five most powerful strategies that I used to gain clarity that were reinforced during this conference. And I put them together in a free download for you that you can get on my website. So be sure to check that out. And in addition, I wanted to add just a fun little side story. To know me is to know that I like to see the little miracles in life. Do you like to see the little miracles? If you do, you'll enjoy this story. So, Monday morning, the day I made the final tweaks to my book, my oldest son, Jack, stayed home from school sick. He sat on the kitchen table with me to give me his approval on the final touches of my book. My goal for the Super Dynamos is to get it into the hands of kids across the world because I believe so strongly in the messages. So I was feeling a little nervous about the changes I was making. I still wanted it to have mass appeal to parents, schools, healthcare providers, etc. Earlier in the morning, I had asked the universe to please help me know if I was doing the right thing. Within just 2 minutes of working at that table with my son Jack on my manuscript, my son and I started hearing a tapping sound. At first, we just shrugged it off, but it didn't stop. It kept going on and on. We followed the sound into my den where I typically do my writing and saw a beautiful cardinal who had found its way behind the big tree in front of my window and was tapping against the glass. And you know, that cardinal is the bird that symbolizes love. And darned if that cardinal did not stay the entire day. Then, 5:30 the next morning, I went down to my basement to get my workout in before submitting my final changes to the publisher. As soon as I got started, I heard that tapping sound again. So I laughed and walked into the bedroom across the hall. And there he was. But this time, he'd somehow made his way to the side of my house behind the air conditioner unit and the row of very mature bushes that were growing against the side of my house to the tiny little hopper window in that bedroom. In my heart, I knew I was doing the right thing. The Super Dynamo's Fuel Up Max's Transformation Begins is available now. If you'd like a special signed copy for the child or children in your life, you can purchase directly from my book page at www.superdynamos.com. But please make sure, if you do purchase that way, to send me an email with the names of your child or children and your address so that I can be sure to send the right book to the right family. Or you can order at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Just search for The Super Dynamos. Stay tuned for my next article, where I'll share what I believe to be a critical element that needs to be addressed in order to make a real difference in the health, well-being, and happiness of our children. Thank you for tuning in.